This is an adult podcast made by adults for adults.
Hey everyone, this is Suede. Just wanted to give y'all an update. My dad has completed his brain surgery. He's doing pretty good. He's still a little light on his feet right now, trying to get back his strength, but he's doing good. It was successful and they removed everything that was in there that shouldn't be. So for now, things are okay. I wanted to quick thank some people. I wanted to thank @shorthairali for, of course, liking the tweet, the one about my dad, along with Shania's famous enchilada, and Maddie, and, of course, Teen Gay, our good friend Sid, and then, of course, Celine, and Bisexual Barry Bro, who both shared the tweet. And I also want to thank some people who donated. Tori, Claire, Justin, Celine, Sid, Gabe, Finn. This has really been fantastic. And if I missed any names or you donated anonymously, please let me know. Shoot us an email at fakefilmvins@gmail.com or send us a tweet or whatever. And it's okay if you don't want me to say anything. If you just want to be anonymous, that's good too. Thank you guys. This means the world to me. This is really, I mean, it's helped out. We've got the surgery paid for now, and that's, it's been weird. It's been rough, but you guys came through. Thank you so much. Now back to the episode. Alright, I'm just gonna get into it. No fucking around. Hey everybody, welcome to Fake Fucking Film Fans, a podcast for degenerates and cool boys.
The fuck's come out.
Yeah, I'm cool today. I'm a cool biker boy. My name's Suede Best, and I'm a muscly biker.
Hey everyone, I'm Walter, and I have very stinky armpits right now.
Disgusting. You couldn't follow my energy? You couldn't be a tough biker guy too?
Come on, what are you talking about? Stinky people are fucking masculine bikers.
That's true. People who smell bad are masculine and are bikers.
Also, there is something about stinky that I want to talk about on this podcast.
Okay, great. Nothing kills the podcast listens than when Walter talks about deeply gross shit.
This is gonna be my favorite gross episode. I'm so fucking prepared. I'm so fucking prepared that I'm gonna segue immediately into an opener about gross fucking movies.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
Isn't that fucking amazing?
It's so fucking amazing.
We're gonna
amazing.
Get right into it.
Get into Snickle Fritz, boy.
Do you actually hate it when I do gross shit?
No. No, it can be a gate for our listeners.
I just think that's so fucking, like, isn't this podcast made for degens?
Yeah, but there's, like, eating your ass skin. I definitely had friends after that episode who, like, don't listen to it anymore.
Yeah, because those are not degens. They're not our target audience.
Maybe that's fair.
They're fucking normies.
Okay.
You just can't admit how many normie friends you have.
I do have a
Shall
lot
we count
friends.
How many normie
no,
friends
No, we're
you
not
have?
Gonna count my... Okay, just fucking get on with your bit. God damn
okay,
it.
Okay.
Fucking warthog child.
Okay, so super fucking funny. We talked recently in the episode about Dancer in the Dark, where I complained there weren't enough people who vomited in movies.
You see, and this is what I'm talking about. I know plenty of people who are degenerates who hate vomit, so...
Those are not degenerates.
Oh, drawing some fast, hard, arbitrary
if
lines.
You don't want to talk about vomit, you're not a fucking degenerate.
Okay. All right. Get on with it, then.
Okay, and also, number two, this film that I watched was in the movie theater, so...
Is it Avatar Shape of Water?
Yeah. Avatar Shape of Water won the Cannes Award this year. It was pretty fucking fantastic.
Yeah, my favorite part was when...
Hey, I reference Avatar The Shape of Water, too.
Yeah, me too.
I know that film.
I'm included.
Are you sure? I know that film.
Oh, my
Dude,
God.
Dude, I know that film. Not everyone does, but I do. I just want to make that clear. I do know that movie. I also know Wakanda.
What kind of movies have you been watching?
Okay. God damn it. The Cannes Award guy, Ruben Östlund, his new movie came out. It's called Triangle of Sadness, won that fucking Cannes Award thing, and has a 20-minute vomiting scene.
Ooh, that's a lot of vomit.
Yeah. So basically, it's this movie that kind of plays with toxic masculinity and class. Do you remember that film that I brought on the podcast called Swept Away?
Yes.
Okay, so Swept Away is this movie. It's literally the same fucking film. Except, and Swept Away is mostly just about class. This movie puts in male and female reversal roles into it too. But the vomiting scene, that's why I'm talking about this movie. Basically, the captain is a drunk of this luxurious cruise. And he decides... What?
It's just funny when you say big words.
He decides that he thinks all the customers are gross people because he's American. Americans love fucking socialism. You know what I mean?
No, okay.
I don't know why that's the fucking stereotype. You know, like, Europeans think Americans are, like, so fucking woke.
Okay.
He's, like, is so mad that his cruise is, like, all these rich people. Basically, he decides that he wants to do the captain's dinner on the only night that has a storm because he's fucking mad.
He's engaging in some class warfare.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. Everyone comes.
Everyone comes? All in their pants and dresses?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good bit. Good section.
Oh, you don't want me to continue that one?
No.
Slade immediately regretted it because he saw the light in my eyes.
I instantly wanted to talk about jeez.
These people all come in for a good meal because it's the captain's fucking dinner. What their food is basically all this very nice umami food. Raw seafood, raw sea urchin, seaweed, octopus. And the boat is rocking. The camera's rocking too, so as a viewer, you also get nauseous. People start throwing up. But they don't want to leave because this is, like, the best meal. So they start throwing up at each other. The vomit is the color of the food. And each person who vomits makes more people vomit. So this whole fucking scene is about, like, 20 fucking people just vomiting and, like, running out as the fucking camera is rocking with the fucking boat. So as a viewer, you're also getting nauseous. There's a great scene, one of my fucking favorite scenes of vomit. A older lady gets into the toilet and she's like crying because she's vomited all over the floor and all the vomit is in her hair. Her hair looks sticky and she keeps rolling back on the toilet in her washroom.
Okay, this is getting too disgusting for me.
This is a fucking Cannes Award movie.
Look, I just don't want to hear you talk about old women rolling around in vomit. I'm sorry, that's too much.
She's also in her underwear. Walter, so her underwear is soaked in vomit.
Okay. Fast forward. I'm fast forwarding.
But that's all I wanted to talk about. There's nothing about this movie that I care about.
Okay, well, yeah, I think you've talked enough about it. I don't think we're talking more about this. It's disgusting.
No, I just think it's so fucking funny that I was complaining about how, like, God damn, why are movies not into vomit? And then, like, these fucking film critique people are all like, you know what? We heard fake film fans.
They did. They heard
fake. We're going to give a movie about vomit.
They gave Walter his vomit.
A fucking Palme d'Or award. So I've decided I'm not going to hate pretentious film critics as much anymore because they love vomit like me.
Okay.
You know, this is actually this is the point.
Okay, this is the point. This is the point.
My gut feeling.
Guys, listen, it's the point. This is the point. You need to listen to Walter. It's the point. Okay. It's the most important part.
My gut feeling is that we don't need to target this podcast towards degenerates and film fans. My theory is every single film fan is secretly a degenerate. And therefore, we can talk about as much vomit as we want.
No, we can't.
And we
That's
are targeting
true.
Our demographic of film elitist pricks. And that is awesome. We don't need to deviate from being degenerate because degeneracy is just an inherent part of film watching.
Okay. I think that is fair. That being said, if I have to hear you talk more about vomit, I am going to throw up. So let's move on.
Okay, tell me why. Why was that gross? Because it's pretty funny in the movie.
It's because you're talking about vomit in people's hair and stuff. It's just very visceral.
Yeah, but that's what you get to see, and it's funny. I feel like you're coming into this conversation with preconceived notions of normative society.
Oh, my God.
And it's fucked up that you're doing that.
Oh, my God. I just don't like talking about vomit, okay?
Socially, you've been taught not to like talking about vomit, and you need to break out of that social barrier so you can embrace the vomit conversation.
We're moving on. The music starts.
Okay. This is a pretty short intro, though, just so you know. It was a pretty crazy film.
You really liked it?
I don't know. The movie was cool and interesting, but a little on the nose. But that scene was
so
like...
So you liked the
I just did
scene.
Not expect okay. something to come
Jesus
out.
Jesus fucking Christ. You know, put this in. Put this part in where you talk about how much... The movie? Fuck the movie. I didn't give a shit about the movie. I didn't care. I liked it when I... You know what you can do, Walt? You know what you could do if you wanted? You could just come to downtown Roanoke on Halloween or St. Patrick's Day. You could just watch the vomiting scene in real life if you wanted.
Oh my God, that's the same fucking argument where I, like, watch movies about mountains and you're like, Come on to Roanoke, watch the fucking mountains.
I would
man.
Rather watch real mountains than the fucking movie about mountains.
That's why you have to rely on me to navigate this podcast towards the target audience.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you hate movies too much.
I forgot everyone in our podcast who listens to it has a vomit fetish. Jesus.
They're not a vomit fetish. They like films. And my point is, if you're a film appreciator, you're a degenerate. Who likes vomit? Proven math equation.
You make me so angry, I want to vomit. That's what you do. You make me want to vomit from rage.
If you agree with us, my little degens,
nope.
Send us an email. Tell us how much you love
vomit. They're
called our
fake film fans.
And if Swade sees how many people who love vomit, he actually can't say anything.
No, because think of all the people who aren't sending in.
No, because that means they're not fans, idiot.
Okay, well, you know what? If we'll review the Slaughtered Vomit Doll trilogy after this. You want to do that? You want to watch the Slaughtered Vomit Doll trilogy?
I mean, if that's what you want to do, it's not a movie that I enjoy watching. That's the problem. I kind of feel like you're comparing apples and oranges, though. None of these white old film critics dudes are like watching Slaughter Vomit whatever, but they did watch Triangle of Sadness and they did critique it and give it high praise. But like there are other films that
dude,
I like
just
watching
hate
it.
Vomit. I think it's so gross. Like I love Tim and Eric. Every bit they have where people vomit in their Tim and Eric bits, I fast forward through. I just fucking
oh my god,
it yaks me out so hard.
Guys, who has the real problem here? Me or Swade? It sounds like Swade has the fucking problem. Some trauma needs to be unlocked right here.
That, you know, that is my problem. That you make me feel gross. That is my problem, I guess. In the same way that when you, like, see a rotten corpse on the floor, and it's, like, stinking up the place, and it's also your grandma or your son, and you're like, oh, I guess it is my problem that I am upset about this corpse, right?
Okay, I've never experienced that, so I don't know I have that problem yet.
You are a corpse. That's what I'm saying. You are a rotting corpse.
I do stink.
You do stink. There we go. Full circle.
Can be pretty gross, by the way, so...
It's not that gross. It's really not. Well, actually, okay, so, I mean, if we want to go back to the gross conversation, I am not grossed out by blood.
What about shit?
Blood does not gross me out. Okay, the shit scene was pretty... That's true. That was one really gross scene.
That was a good scene,
of course,
bro.
You liked that scene. It also yucked me out a little bit. So we watched a movie called I Bought a Vampire Motorcycle. The basic premise is that for some reason, evil biker Satanists put the soul of a demon in a motorcycle, and then they get killed. Guy buys the motorcycle, and the motorcycle rampages. And also, the motorcycle runs on blood. And at night, it, like, gets spikes and all this fucking brutal, like, demon bike shit.
Are you sure you don't want a plot jingle for the more complicated plot here?
No, I don't think we need a plot jingle for this one. In part because... The weakest part of this movie is actually the plot.
Okay, actually, that makes me a little befuddled because it's not that I think the plot is good. I just think the plot is insignificant. So to call something that's made to be insignificant weak is weird? Question mark?
Okay, so at one point, the enemy biker gang that killed the Satanists, they get killed by the bike. And a priest shows up. Who helps them exercise the bike. And the guy's got a girlfriend, the main guy, Naughty, has a girlfriend named Kitty, who the bike wants to eat and or have sex with. It's not really clear.
The bike definitely wants to have sex with her, too.
Yeah. But the bike can't have sex. This is my biggest frustration with this film actually has to do with how the villain functions, right? If you look at other horror comedies, because that's what this is a horror comedy, there are a lot of jokes in it. One of the main ways they deal with the bicycle at the end is there's this inspector who has really bad garlic breath, and he keeps blowing his breath on the bike to make it move away, because it's like a vampire. I think a good horror movie, whether it's comedy or otherwise, the antagonist either has a reason to be there, or the terror comes from the fact that there's no way of knowing why the antagonist is there. The problem with the bike is that you can't really figure out why the bike is doing what it does. You don't know why the evil Satanists have put the spirit into the bike. You don't know why they were killed in general, why the evil Satanists are killed in general, and you don't understand why the bike is doing what it's doing. So there's just kind of this engine of destruction that exists. And I think it makes the plot really frustrating. There are a lot of horror movies where the why is not important. I really struggled with this movie not having a good why. It's hard to be scared of something that is so without reason.
So you're not a fan of horror where it's not really horror at all?
No, because American Werewolf in London is fantastic. Because the crux of American Werewolf in London is the pull between the main characters not wanting to ruin everything by being a werewolf and also having to transform into a werewolf.
Yeah, I still feel like that example is so different. That's why I said, like, this plot is meant to be insignificant.
Yeah, I guess, but there's not enough other stuff. Like, did you think the kills were all that good? I was not a fan of these kills, really.
Honestly, the only thing that I really fucking loved, besides the shit scene, I guess, was the fodder with his six shurikens.
What about Kitty? Kitty is the main female lead, and I love her so much. She's way better than Julio Ochenko. What is her name?
Yulia?
Yulia, the pole vaulter that you love so much. Nothing compared to the Kitty. Fujiwara, nothing compared to Kitty.
Okay, explain to me how fucking Kitty is even remotely interesting, motherfucker.
She's cute. She has a cute little accent. She has funny, bushy hair.
Fujiwara does a cute dance in front of a desk.
No. For one thing, she's one of the few characters that are, like, responding in a pretty normal way. Naughty's friend gets killed by the bicycle, and he, like, doesn't give a shit until he starts having bad dreams. And he, like, comes across Naughty's, like, fucking removed head. Meanwhile, Kitty's the one who's like, oh my god, I'm so upset. She felt like the most developed character.
Do you think you love Kitty in comparison to the other characters in the movie, or you think Kitty is like one of the best screen queens of everything you see?
I think she's very cute, and I like her long legs and big hair, and I like when she wears a leather skirt, and I wish she was my wife.
So basically, you were the motorcycle.
I'm the motorcycle. That's the point of the movie. The whole time, we were the motorcycle.
Yeah, we do get the motorcycle's POV, like, multiple times.
You know where this movie shines, though? So the motorcycle's kills are not that great, with the exception of where the motorcycle's headlamp gets broken, and this policewoman is, like, giving him a ticket, the motorcycle putting a ticket on it, and then the glass, like, opens up like a mouth and bites her hand off, becomes like a chomping mouth. I did really like that bit. I thought that was awesome.
The motorcycle does have cool, sharp sides.
Yes. The motorcycle will, like, run spikes, into people. Spikes. Yeah, it's got spikes on its wheels. And it shoots them out. There's also, like, a fight scene in this movie, like a crazy fight scene where, like, Kitty and Naughty are, like, fighting the bikers that killed the Satanists, because the motorcycle drove them off the road, and they think it's Naughty's fault, even though it's the motorcycle's fault. And it's pretty awesome. They have, like, swords and axes and stuff.
Well, the kills aren't that great, but I did like the heads.
Oh, yeah, that's true. This movie's very good at cutting people apart.
Yeah, there's a lot of beheaded people, and there's this one scene where 12 bikers are dead, and all their heads are, like, lined up like a fucking... I can't say anything.
Like a bunch of jack-o'-lanterns. Like a bunch of jack-o'-lanterns lying in the street for Halloween. There's this bicycle. The bicycle does this other thing. The motorcycle does this other thing. Because it runs on blood, so that's the whole thing. Towards the end of the movie, the motorcycle starts, like, shooting these tubes out of its spokes. Not its spokes. It's, like, the thing that connects.
Spoke!
It's not the spokes.
My favorite word of all time.
Oh, my God.
I love spokes.
These, like, tubes shoot out of the front of the motorcycle and pierce people's neck and drain all their blood out of them like a vampire. And that was, every time that happened, I was pretty hype. I was like, yeah, motorcycle tubes.
The funniest part of that is, even though the motorcycle could just leave fangs, the movie was like, you know what, we still want these people to be split in half.
Yeah. So the motorcycle pierces this nurse's, like, it's like the nurse has this, like, cart in front of her, and the motorcycle's, like, pushing the cart into her, and then it shoots these tubes out and drinks all her blood, and then the motorcycle pulls away and the cart comes with it, and then the woman just falls in half, bisected by the cart. It's pretty awesome. Also had a vomiting scene in it, because then the second nurse who comes in sees it and vomits all over Kitty.
I told you this movie is gross. Shit and vomit.
But I do want to say, I really love some of the lines in this movie. My favorite bit is in the beginning. And honestly, just watch the first 5 minutes of this movie. It's like within the first minute. There's this, like, evil biker with a crossbow who just pops up. And he shoots a guy in the back with a crossbow and goes, "Surprise!" And it's awesome. It's the best part of the entire movie.
In whose name blood must be shed. Arise, O Aroman, Lord of the... Surprise!
There are some more good lines after that, but that is by far my favorite, is she just shoots a dude in the back with a crossbow. And it's also a little funny, people don't have access to guns in England in the same way, right? So it makes sense that he'd use a crossbow. Because, like, if you did this movie in the US, everyone would have a gun.
Aren't crossbows, like, related to vampires? Because doesn't Giles and Buffy the Vampire Slayer use a crossbow, too?
Yeah, and I'm not sure what that's from. The vampire mythology has existed since before crossbows. Like, creatures that drank human blood, that's been around for way longer than the crossbow. I'm not sure. I think it just kind of became a part of the vampire movie and TV mythos.
I mean, the reason why it's a choice of weapon is because it's the easiest to put a wooden stake in it, because you can't really shoot a wooden stake out of a gun.
And it's easier to use than a bow. It's because it's more like a gun. You just point and shoot.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's not enough Yulias in fucking vampire mythology, so they can't pole vault their fucking javelin throw.
No, that's true. Javelin throw through the heart. That would be pretty sweet.
Technically, people do throw stakes at people, which is kind of close to pole vaulting.
Have you seen one of my favorite vampire movies of all time? Fucking Van Helsing. I fucking love that movie. And fucking he has a kick-ass automatic crossbow that he uses. They never made a sequel. That really bummed me out. I thought there could have been a sequel. They also never made a sequel to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is bullshit, because that movie also kicks ass.
Want to keep listing out movies you love?
Yeah, I mean, movies that deserve sequels that never got sequels. Are you kidding me? There are tons. It's criminal that they didn't make a fourth Blade film, because they introduced vampires right at the end, and then they did not include a next one. It's because Wesley Snipes went to jail for tax evasion, so they didn't make a fucking fourth Wesley Snipes movie, which also sucks. I would have watched I would have watched a sequel to Lady in the Water by M. Night Shyamalan. I thought that movie was pretty awesome.
Okay. What else?
I would have watched a sequel to Akira. Would have watched an Akira sequel. Also, they never met. You know that movie Ted, made by Seth MacFarlane? He plays a teddy bear. It's kind of like Family Guy.
Yeah, I didn't watch that
one. I want to watch it, but I wish they'd make a sequel for it, even though I've never seen it. I would like them to make a sequel.
They do have a sequel, I'm pretty
There's
sure.
There's a sequel? We should do that on the podcast.
Are you fucking running out of ideas? So you're just talking?
I am.
What is going on?
I'm just talking. I just...
is actually stinky.
No. Oh, well, okay, let me rephrase. I don't think garlic is stinky. I do not like the way my breath smells after I eat raw garlic.
But do you get bothered when other people have a garlic breath?
A little bit, yeah.
I don't. And the reason why I thought about it when I was watching this movie is because I've been recently reading Love is War, the fucking great mega gag mag. There's this one chapter where Fujiwara, my fucking favorite character, who you randomly decide to shit talk on this fucking episode.
She's very cute.
Oh. Fujiwara. Oh. Anyways.
Oh, Yulia Olchenko. Oh.
She's in a ramen store and she's getting judged by this professional ramen person. And then she has these garlic stuff in front of her. And the ramen guy's like, she's not going to be able to eat ramen because girls can't eat fucking garlic. But she, like, a fucking boss. She smushes 10 pieces of garlic, puts it all in her mouth. But then she meets her friends and her friends have to give her breath mints. And I was thinking to myself, I've never had that experience. No one has ever given me breath mints and I've never given anyone breath mints.
In part because I don't think eating a little bit of garlic makes your breath that bad.
It's basically just a joke.
I think it's a little bit of a joke. Unless you, like, I'm serious. I think raw garlic, it's just like you keep burping it up. You just reek of garlic. My thing is that I think people's breath should be smell neutral. When you speak to me, I don't want to smell something.
Well, because you feel that way with body odor, too.
And it's not that big a deal. Like, for instance, I have a friend. I'm not sure he listens to the podcast.
Well, he's a fucking normie. That's a lie.
No, he is definitely not a normie. I just don't think he listens to podcasts.
Does he like vomit?
I don't know. I don't know if he likes vomit.
Then he might be a normie.
Okay. But he has a little bit of a BO problem. And he is a very good dude. I don't see him very often.
So he might not even be a friend.
No, he's just...
He might be a normie. He might not even be a friend.
No.
What is
no.
the truth in this story?
What is the truth? No, but, and you know, I still hang out with him, even though he's got a little bit of a BO problem.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
For my sacrifice. No, I mean, it's just like, I know I talk a lot of hard shit about people's smells. In practice, it's like, it's fine. But, like, if I was going to go in for a smooch and your breath smelled like a ham sandwich or a peanut butter or like a milk, That'd be bad. I would not like that. Maybe like a strawberry or a grape.
That's fair, but you also smoke cigarettes.
Yes, which is why you gotta brush your teeth if you're gonna smooch someone after you smoke.
No, but cigarettes make other things smell bad with your body too.
That's true.
Which
That's
makes
true.
All the touching physical stuff even difficult. But a lot of people, because of social connotations, won't mention it or think it's like normal. I don't actually really understand why people don't point it out.
When I think there's also a difference between fresh cigarette smell and stale cigarette smell.
But I was also thinking about how like cigarettes make your jizz taste bad.
Disgusting. I don't even know if that's true. Is that true?
It is true. It is true. Alcohol and cigarettes.
How do you know this?
Because I did so much research on this because I wanted to make sure I wasn't a toxic man.
Hot take. I don't... Whatever. Never mind. This is actually not a hot take. I don't know why people expect other people to swallow their jizz. Like, if someone asked me to do that, I would be like, fuck no. And in the same way... I've never asked someone to swallow my jizz.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. We encourage this sex-positive world, so you think that these facts would be more popular or known. I don't know, the focus on the quality of sex-positivity sometimes seems forgotten. And to be fair, if swallowing jizz was viewed as a fetish instead of this norm thing that people did, I do think there would be way more nuance and... people would be actually be able to talk about the aesthetics of swallowing jizz and make that an interesting conversation. Because right now, people don't dive into details or ask questions about it because they think it's just this normal thing that everyone does. But also body odor and breath also has that sort of double standard. In social stuff, we can say stuff like just have good body hygiene, but there's actually levels to all of them and which ones are more acceptable and which ones are not. But that's the only reason why I brought up this garlic question, because I don't know. When we talk about this, I do remember you having opinions of it. But for me, I'm like so nonchalant about all this stuff because maybe I just smell terrible. Maybe I have the worst body hygiene.
And there are times I've not smelled great. This is not me being like, I'm the paragon of good smells.
Oh, sweet. But you smell like roses to me.
I think there are certain situations. You think that's real funny, don't you? You think that's hilarious for some reason.
No, your reaction is
just like pure spite. I think there are situations in which you should be smell neutral. That's all. I think if you show up smelling like bad to a funeral, fuck that. Don't do that. Smell neutral at a funeral. It's not time for us to notice your smell at a funeral.
I mean, the smoke could be distracting people out of their sadness.
That's true. You smell so bad. A date? You're trying to be attractive? Maybe don't smell bad.
What do you think is one of the situations that's most underrated that you need to smell neutral?
Oh, car trips or planes. Oh my God. Like if you're going to be in a small enclosed space with someone, be as smell neutral as possible.
Elevators.
Oh my God. And I think this also goes for perfumes, right? Which I know I've talked about on the podcast. There is nothing worse than being in a car or a plane or, God forbid, an elevator with a dude who just smells like the fucking nastiest, sharpest cologne. Like, fuck that. Like, that shit sucks so hard. That, in fact, I think smells is worse, because if you like smell a little funky, like after shit, like sweat or cigarettes or garlic or whatever, that's like not necessarily your fault. Someone decided to put on like some sharp ass cologne before they got, and that's like you being like, no, I want to smell like this, and then make other people deal with it, right?
I mean, I'm unbothered. I think I eat too much spicy food.
I eat a lot of spicy food.
Yeah, but your spicy level compared to mine is, you know.
It's like half as spicy as yours. I'd say it's 3/4 as spicy as yours, personally.
It's kind of, you know, I'm not trying to fucking swag here. But like,
that's
come
true.
On.
Walter,
come on.
Walter eats food that's so, like, don't get me wrong. I can eat some spicy food. But, like, Walter cooks food that's so hot that it makes him sweat and fog up his glasses.
And it makes me shit spicy. And I like it.
Stop it. Why are you so disgusting?
This is just a gross episode. What can I do? I couldn't help it. A canceled word movie activated something in me.
It activated something inside you.
Oh, if you're in a box with three other people that a serial killer stuffed inside.
No, I see. At that point, I feel like it's fine. At that point, there's so many other things to worry about. There's so many other things to worry about. There's a serial killer. Like, yeah, of course you're gonna... Like, my mom once... I had to drive my mom somewhere. But I driving makes me very anxious. And I had to drive her somewhere. I didn't know where to get... Like, how to get there, which also stresses me out. And I also had to drive with my mom, which stresses me out. Like, the three things that stress me out. Driving somewhere that has fast roads, driving somewhere I don't know, and driving somewhere with my mom. That's the three. And it was a far ass drive too. So I get there, I drive her, and then I drive her back. And like towards the end, she's like, "Oh my God, you smell so bad right now." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've been so anxious. I've been sweating fear sweat, which like smells." Have you ever had that experience where you can actually smell that you smell worse than normal because you've been anxious and so you've been sweating fear sweat?
I know after exercise I can like smell myself.
But see, I've noticed a perceivable difference. After I sweat from the gym, I smell a little sweaty. If I'm like having a rough time with my brain and also sweating, I just reek. And I don't know what it is. I think there's like a different kind of sweat that comes out or something maybe. Like I smell worse when I am anxious and sweaty.
Could it be because when you're exercising, you're like drinking enough water, so the sweat you have is more water-based, but when you're so scared, you don't drink any water because even water scaring you?
Okay, you were like good up to a point, and then you're like, also the water is scaring you. The water is not scary. The only time... Why are you this way? Who hurt you? Who hurt you? Who made you this
way? Who hurt me? Who hurt you that you're scared of water?
I'm not scared of water. I love the water. I'm a great swimmer. I can swim so fast.
Well, okay, you can be not scared of swimming but still be scared of drinking water.
I hate you.
It also likely could be that you're extra anxious, so your brain is more on high alert and you're noticing your environment. Compare that to when you do exercise, your body is kind of relaxed. So maybe you're smelling your body odor more because you're more conscious and scared about how you're affecting the people around you.
Well, but have you ever had a panic attack?
No.
You know, I was actually talking with Donna, and they were like, yeah, when Walter came to Baltimore, he got high with me. They said you did not have a good time, which I actually didn't realize. What was that like when you got high with them?
I don't know. It makes me sound like a fucking crazy person, dude.
Okay, well, so let's just take a step back. A little while ago, you said, and I quote, "You can't drink water because you're scared of the water." You sound crazy on this podcast all the time.
Okay.
Like, you're fine. Like, there's nothing you can say that will be less crazy than, like, all of the other shit you've said.
Because when I smoke weed, I think it's real. And I still think it's real when I'm sober. I just don't want to express it.
What does that mean?
It's actually insane.
Okay, this does sound crazy now, but now I'm interested in this.
Okay. If you believe that your bodies and your brain and your consciousness is very dictated by the social world, let's pretend you could actually activate your consciousness that is not interpreted by the social world and consciousness. Therefore, your consciousness would be in charge of pushing back against the social world. And if you were able to activate that consciousness properly, I will have unlimited power. Like, I will actually, if I believe I can create fire out of my bare hands.
Dude, you fucking sound like Alex. You sound like fucking Joe Rogan right now. You're like fucking Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I don't really want to put this in the podcast.
No, you're putting it in the podcast. It's very good. It just also sounds like some Joe Rogan shit.
I told you it's fucking insane, dude. And I told you I still kind of believe it's sober, which makes it even more insane.
There is some stuff. All right, so like if you want to talk about like, I think one of the things marijuana can do is it's very good at making you notice how weird a lot of our social and like societal conventions are. It removes you a step from humanity. I find that I get anxious with marijuana because that act of removal makes it difficult for me to communicate, and then I get anxious that I cannot communicate what I'm trying to communicate. It's just like the words won't come correctly, which is very stressful for me as someone who almost always can summon the right words. It's very rare in my life that I can't get the words I want out.
To add to that, by the way, it's not consciousness. I think what it is that I think I'm getting to the actual gears of how your brain uses to think.
The gears of how your brain uses to think, exactly.
Yeah, it's like epistemology, except epistemology is a study of thinking. It's less of a study of thinking, and it feels like I'm actually reaching to the fucking mechanism of how the brain creates ideas and thinks of ideas.
Okay, and then you can make fire with your mind. That's what you're saying?
That's how it fucking feels, yeah.
I hope that never happens. The idea of you having superpowers is a nightmare. That would be very bad for everyone.
I can't believe I had to admit this on the podcast.
That's true, Joe. You're the Joe Rogan. I'm the Kanye West. You're the Joe Rogan. Would you ever ride a motorcycle? Like, do you think motorcycles are cool?
I don't know if I think they're cool, but I do think riding one with the wind is really fun.
So you have ridden a motorcycle before?
Not like driven one, but I rode on the back of a motorcycle once in China. Also, I just imagine it would be fun because even bikes are really fun. It's not really the aesthetic of like coolness that's more attractive to me. It's more of, I just like having a lot of wind in my hair.
Well, and when you play basketball, that is what it's like. The wind, you're so fast, the wind blows your hair back with your basketball moves.
No, I'm too fat. That's not the role I play.
What do you do? You catch the ball in your roles, and you know, you talk a lot about how fat you are, Walter, like it's a bad thing. I thought we were fat positive on this podcast.
Well, that's why it's a good thing. I'm a very good screener.
You're a good screener.
I screen. That's all
you
I do.
You stand in the way. And you always do good three-pointers. And you always can do a dunk. You're such a good dunksman.
I think that's you, dude. You're the one who's good at basketball.
No, my basketball moves are different. I steal the ball. People are like dribbling, getting ready to do that three-point shot, and I just touch it with my finger. Just tap it. Next thing you know, it's in me, and I'm dribbling. Getting ready to recover the ball. That's my special technique.
Dude, you really like basketball, don't you?
I love basketball. Especially when I can enter into the zone.
Oh, like Princess of Tennis?
Oh, I'm referencing Kuroko no Basket, but yeah, also in Prince of Tennis. Which is better than Prince of Tennis, Kuroko no Basket is, by the way.
How is it that much better than Prince of Tennis? I know that's like a popular take, but...
The art's better, the characters are cooler. I think tennis is less exciting.
My opinion is that Kuroko no Basket's powers are just fucking normie shit. It's like, oh, what would I dream about if I was on the basketball court?
Yeah, exactly.
Every three. But Prince of Tennis is like, I fucking spin the ball so the gravity makes me allow me to not have to stand anywhere except in one space. I don't think Prince of Tennis is good. I just think the powers are way more thoughtful.
Okay, the nice thing about Kuroko no Basket is there are so many characters because basketball is a team sport. Not only do you get to see people with a lot of different powers, when they win, it's like the whole team wins. And like you have people crying and like being like, yeah, we won. We made it.
Slam Dunk. What are you fucking doing?
Yeah, but Slam Dunk doesn't have powers. Walt.
Slam Dunk is way fucking cooler when it comes to that team shit.
Okay, I don't know why we've not said the best sports manga. The best non-combat sport manga. The count of three. One, two, three.
I know what you're going to say.
All right.
Crimson Hero.
Crimson Hero? What is Crimson Hero?
Say Ice Shield 21.
It's Ice Shield 21!
Just so you know, by the way, technically American football is a combat sport. Why do you want to talk about sports right now?
Dude, because I love sports. I don't know. I just do love Ice Shield 21. I think Ice Shield 21 is... Because Ice Shield 21's art is on point. That's what makes Ice Shield 21 so great. And like the way they play with size. When there are like big linebackers in Ice Shield 21, even when they're off the field, they're all kind of human sized. When they're on the field, they look like giants. And it's so cool. What is Crimson Hero? I don't know that.
It's a shoujo manga.
Well, does it have cool powers?
No, it has cool drama, love, relationships.
What kind of sport is it even?
Volleyball. It's a love triangle. She has two crushes on the boys' team, man. She's gotta still win with her team despite the drama. And her best rival is also loved by both of them. What can you do?
But it's not a sports manga. It's a romance manga with sports elements.
Or is it a sports manga with romance elements?
I hate you.
I will say that initially it's a very sports manga. I think like the first part of it is really good, but then it loses itself.
So then what's your favorite overall from beginning to end sports manga? It's probably Slam Dunk, right?
Probably is Slam Dunk, but I don't like a lot of the initial part of Slam Dunk because it doesn't know what it's doing yet.
Yeah.
Actually, honestly, it's real. It's also by the guy who wrote Slam Dunk, but it's about wheelchair basketball instead.
I know, just like anytime you have a team of high schoolers who have superpowers, like not like actual superpowers, but basically superpowers. Like Senna, the main character from Ice 21, he like super fast at running because he always has to run errands for people. And he's also super good at dodging because bullies always chase him. At one point he learns to run backwards so fast that it looks like he goes backwards in time, which is crazy. But it's so great when he does it.
So is this what you wanted to talk about? Fucking sports mangas? You ruined my fucking opener.
How did I ruin your opener?
I was gonna fucking give you an opener one day. where we just went through like different sports and then you could compare them to your mangas and I'd tell you which character would probably be better in a different position and then we could argue about it. This was supposed to be a GOAT opener that I prepared and now you fucking started using this middle of this podcast and now I'm not going to be able to talk about this as an opener one day.
I didn't realize that was going to be an opener.
Well, congratulations. No, it doesn't matter anymore. You just fucking put it in the middle of this podcast, which doesn't have anything to do with sports.
Motorcycles are a sport, Walter. Everyone knows motorcycles. You know, my dad, tying it back to motorcycles, my dad used to race dirt bikes as a teenager, and he was pretty good at it. Nothing. Zilch. Zero. No response. And unable to respond.
It's not that I don't think, like, racing is a sport. It's not more of a sport than fucking esports, is it?
It is very different. It is very different. Especially riding a dirt bike, right? Because riding a dirt bike is, like, on hills, and, like, it takes a lot of body power to do that, right? Because you're going up and down hills, you're jumping. I sort of feel a little similar to you about esports as with like race car driving. And you can say racing, like NASCAR or whatever, isn't a sport until there was this dude. It happened this last year, 2022. This dude who's like the bad boy in NASCAR did this move where he like literally like drove on the wall and like slingshotted himself forward. And it was so dangerous that they banned people from doing that move. He was the first person to do this move and it was banned afterwards because like if he'd fucked up, he would have killed people, including himself. Which is just, like, so fucking hype. No, and my dad was a biker for a long time. My dad rode motorcycles for a long, long time. He doesn't anymore. He can't drive. And my mom hates it. My mom hates motorcycles because she thinks they're dangerous. And you know, my dad used to vote exclusively Libertarian. Part of the reason he would always vote Libertarian was because he thought it was bullshit that the government made people wear bike helmets. He would always wear a helmet when they started dating, but I'm not sure how often he actually wore his helmet before that. No, but I've always been afraid to ride a motorcycle, to be honest. And this movie does make riding on a motorcycle look fun when the motorcycle is not like an evil Satan bike.
See, the thing is, I am not really scared of any of that stuff. For me, the annoying part of the motorcycle is getting into it. So you have to buy one, you have to be a part of the motorcycle culture, you have to like learn how to ride a motorcycle.
You need a different license. You can't just drive a motorcycle with a motorcycle license.
Do you want to like motorcycles?
I do think motorcycles are cool, but my struggle is I don't like going fast. Like, I don't like roller coasters. I don't like driving on the highway.
Like the Flash.
Well, yeah. The Flash is cool because he's never in danger when he goes fast.
He is in danger. Otherwise, what's the fucking point of that superpower?
Okay, but he's not in danger. His speed is not what endangers him. It's other people endangering him. I would probably be more scared about how fast I go than fighting Gorilla Grodd. It makes me physically uncomfortable to go very fast. I just, like, it makes me nervous. Because I'm a crazy person. I just think motorcycles are cool.
Oh, God. Here it comes again. Just like I have said before in the podcast, I don't think a lot of things are sexy. I don't think a lot of things are cool.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't think things are cool?
It's such a fucking word that doesn't make sense to me. What the fuck is a cool thing?
The motorcycle is cool because it is the modern cowboy. It's the closest thing we can have to a horse that's not a horse.
You just made this really uncool.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's like you alone on the road, free, you can drive anywhere. You don't need a whole lot of stuff. You can park her anywhere.
Yeah, I've said that. I like having a wind blow in my hair. That feels very freeing.
It's the freedom.
That's not cool.
The freedom is cool. The freedom.
So you're saying America is cool?
No, America is definitely not cool. America definitely is not cool.
I don't think freedom is cool.
Within the motorcycle is this spirit of adventure. So for instance, we're going to go back to mangas. We're returning to the manga corner. There's this manga called Yuru Yuru. It's about cute girls who go camping. And my favorite character is the girl who likes to go camping by herself. And there are all these awesome scenes of her riding her like little motorcycle scootery thing far, just like down the road to go camping by herself. And those some of those pages are my favorite because it's just like she just like is by herself. She's not tied down by all these objects she need. Like when I travel, like literally I went on my trip to DC by train. I brought my laptop and my Nintendo Switch and snacks. Like I brought so much shit for like what was a day trip. So, like, I'm attracted to, like, the freedom that the motorcycle represents.
I understand why you can be attracted to something, but I'm arguing that's not cool.
Why isn't it
cool?
That
sounds moe and comfy.
Okay, it's moe if it's a cute girl. It's badass if it's, like, a tough dude.
Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer are not cool. They're nerdy geeks.
I Don't know why you're bringing them up. What do they have to do with motorcycles?
Aren't they like travelers? Adventurers, I mean? I don't think adventuring is cool. Otherwise, Barney would be cool.
Barney does not go on adventures, Paul.
We're going to adventure. A sailing adventure. Dun-dun. Da, 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 da.
It's so weird the amount of Barney memory you have. Because the only one I know is the I Love You, You Love Me in the cleanup song.
How about that motherfucker who like goes around and TED Talks and is like, hey guys, I have a backpack. That's why I travel. That guy's lame.
Yeah, that guy's lame. But the guy who just does it and doesn't make a big deal out of it, that guy's cool. Because like the character's like aloof. They're capable of, what's the word? Adapting. Maybe this is like my personal thing, but I struggle with adapting. Like I don't handle change well.
That's fine. I just don't think I know anything that's cool.
Okay. I mean, do you want to get into the Snicklefritz? Cool is like attractive. It is something that a group of people come to decide. The ontology of cool is a falsehood. Lots of groups of people agree that motorcycles are cool because of these things that I'm talking about. So it gains the title of cool. Because, you know, what people think is cool is, like, TikTok boys, e-boys, which I think are not cool. I do not think they're cool. I think they seem, like, weird that they are so invested with their physical appearance. Because it's about what people think is cool. And so then when you explain why something's cool, you're talking about why you ascribe them to that.
I hate words like this because instead of when you describe something as cool, you don't actually describe it as cool. You describe things around it and then just label cool on top of it and then go job well done. So it's like nice, cool, all these words fucking suck.
Yeah, but it's for the efficiency of language, Walt, because every podcast can't be us describing what we like about motorcycles. Like for most people, if I said, do you think motorcycles are cool, they would know what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, you're not talking to most people.
That's true. Here. I'm talking to...
I'm a fucking cool person.
Yeah, you're super
baby.
Cool. Well, okay, so what do you think is cool? What do you think is cool? Name one thing that you think
I just
cool.
said I don't think many things are... I don't know what's cool.
Samurais? Samurais?
Samurais are not cool.
Vomiting?
No.
Taco Bell.
Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch. Cool Ranch. Oh.
Ice cream.
What about Godard?
No, I think Godard's like pretentious in a way that I like.
What about like watching super pretentious foreign films that no one knows about?
I don't think that's cool. I think that's lame, but I like lameness in that.
Lame is the same as cool. Lame is just the antithesis of cool. It's the same word.
Then that's the thing. I think everything that is cool is actually lame. There's just positive
no, 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 no. You, no, no, no. You said you don't like the word cool and nice and pretty. Lame is one of those words.
That I understand. So maybe I'm saying, oh, shit, you're right. I just have destroyed the word cool and put lame as both sides. So I have good lame and bad lame, but I don't have a cool anymore.
You're such a contrarian. You're such an asshole. You're such a cuck.
No, I'm just saying, we're trying to understand why my brain works this way, and I think you helped me. Why are you scolding me when you did good work?
You're such
a cool guy.
I am cool. You're right.
I'm
so
lame.
Cool.
You're a good lame.
No, I'm not lame. I'm cool.
You're as cool as a motorcycle.
But dude, like, what about like when we watched Lone Wolf and Cub? They like fucking slash their swords, and then one guy takes a step and then his chest explodes and then there's a poem, a haiku or some shit. That's cool, right?
I feel like a word like badass makes more sense to me in that case. And if you want to argue that cool and badass are the same thing, I guess you can say so.
But then what is badass?
So I'm starting to say I'm convinced by your fucking point.
Okay.
It's just for some reason the word cool does not resonate with me, specifically that word.
Well, badass is a little more specific. Like, you know what's cool? When your mom brings you home an ice cream cone and she didn't tell you she was bringing you home an ice cream cone. You know what else is cool? Ninjas. Those two are very different things, but they can both be described as cool. You can't describe an ice cream cone as badass necessarily.
And I think sometimes when those words are super vacuous, I struggle to enjoy them because I think there's a bit of laziness when people use words like that.
Yeah, but sometimes you're so lazy, you just choose not to finish pronouncing words.
But that lazy is like socially accepted. My lazy is so lazy that it points out the flaws of language in itself.
You're such... and you are so weird.
So, like, my lazy does deconstruction.
Dude, I have this fucking screwdriver. It smells like vomit for some reason.
I don't know what you're trying to do here. If I start talking about vomit, you're going to get mad at me.
I'm just saying it smells like vomit.
To talk about vomit.
Just tweet at us if you have a screwdriver that smells like vomit, okay? God damn.
Okay, but apparently when I ask people to tweet about vomit, you're like, no, don't do it.
That was a good conversation that has nothing to do with the movie. They mentioned Video Nasties twice, which I think is pretty hilarious. They're a group of movies that were banned in England from being sold because they were considered like super violent and pornographic, which I thought is pretty interesting that the movie references the Video Nasties. I'm always like, oh, because it's kind of like that. I mean, it's not as gratuitous as those movies, but it is pretty gory.
When something references something cult, you get excited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, I know what that is. And my goal is to watch all the Video Nasties. But they're like, I don't really want to watch Cannibal Holocaust because it has real animal death in it, which kind of squeaks me out a little bit. And it's also kind of maybe a pretty racist movie, but you don't care about this.
No, I do care, but this Cannibal Holocaust story just sounds like you want to do it, but you're scared of doing it, just like the motorcycle.
Yes, it is just like the motorcycle. So you know what I need to do? You know what I need to do, right?
Stop being scared of water.
That was in a different episode. You can't reference it. No, it wasn't really? This episode. Shit. Was it in this episode? I don't even remember. Man, recording two podcasts in one day. oh, no, I got to watch Cannibal Holocaust on the back of a motorcycle.
Do that. That's actually fucking super cool. I would definitely do that. It'd be a very cute date. You should find someone who would want to drive a motorcycle and you can watch Cannibal Holocaust behind them. And it's like super cute.
It's like just super love. It's just our love together. Guys, be sure to like and follow. It's very late where Walter is, so I think we're gonna wrap it up.
Wrap it up. I think even if it's late, oh my god, I almost made an anime reference. I guess this is what happens when you're tired.
Yeah, you just want to talk about anime. Which anime were you gonna reference?
The anime I'm watching right now. How to Train a Boring Girl.
Oh my god, dude. Oh my god. Is it an anime or a manga?
Well, it's a light novel by the author of White Album 2, which is a rocket. I'm sure everyone is so excited to hear
about
it.
Yeah, everyone knows what you're talking about. You know what my favorite anime is, Walt? When I play basketball, because I love sports. I'm a sports guy.
Do you
guy.
Need to list out your 10 favorite animes?
No, again? I need to list out my 10 favorite basketball moves. Basketball move number 10, my favorite. Corkscrew dunk. Number 9, double zigzag three-pointer. Number 8, sweep style ball steal. Number 6, ultimate basketball rim shot. Number 5, basketball rim job. Number 4, there's not a name for this, dribbling the ball, just classic dribble. Number 3, headbutting people. Number 2, punching people, specifically Walter when he has the ball. And number 1, just a classic layup.
Do you want to play D&D again and I just don't follow the rules?
No, no. No, I don't want that.
This is the problem with people who are anti-sports.
I'm not anti-sports. I love sports.
Yeah, but you keep fouling me, dude.
It's just because you don't like getting hit. See, that's why you're not a true masculine donger man like me.
I don't want to be a masculine donger man. That's the only you want that here.
Yeah, that's true. I'm the only one on this podcast who loves his muscles.
I wish I was more feminine.
Do you have a New Year's resolution, Walt?
Yeah, I have a New Year's resolution to finally hit 365 movies this year.
Okay.
I keep missing by like 50 every year. Basically, in Goucher, I watch only like 10 movies a fucking year because fucking people in Goucher suck and they only want me to watch Parks and Rec.
That's not true. We had a lot of fun and just getting drunk and doing shenanigans.
But what about my soul and my spirit?
See, my spirit and my soul is healed by my connections with others, not movies. So you want to watch 365 movies?
Yeah, because I've been struggling for the past 4 years. It's a good resolution, like very positive. It's like great for the mind and soul and body.
Well, I watched 365 like, movies last year.
Yeah, of course. You watch fucking TikTok videos.
I do not watch TikTok. You shut your goddamn mouth.
Did you know the guy I referenced on that solo episode, by the way?
No.
Yodi Gang. Shall we?
No. I've definitely read manga every day.
I want to read more manga every... I want to play more video games, read more manga. I kind of want to read some philosophy this year. I kind of stopped philosophy after I left college, and that's been making me a little sad. No concrete goal numbers.
Oh, see, I've got mine. I want to move out of my parents' house.
Okay, that's not happening. That's way more unrealistic than mine.
It's expensive! It's
also because you cry when you go to a hotel that's right down next
That's not street. True! Cut this bit out. Cut this bit out.
Oh my god, I wish one day people could see the pictures, though, of how you had to bring six of your own blankets.
I like having my blankets. Why would I not bring my own comfort? Do you not bring... of course you don't when you travel, but that's because you travel transatlantic.
No one brings their own fucking blankets to traveling.
My mom does.
Okay, your mom's not a great role model when it comes to traveling, just so you know.
I'm going to tell her you said that. No, my actual New Year's resolution is to meditate more.
Hey, that's a good one. No commitment. No real numbers.
No real numbers.
Those are my favorite goals.
All right, share the show. Share it. Also, you know what's going to be hilarious? You're going to drop this somewhere, and it won't make any sense that we're talking about our New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, I was going to make a rule. No fucking date references.
Yeah, I fucked it up.
In our backup episode. I fucked it up. All right, guys, it's a fucking backup episode. Congratulations, you made it to the end of the podcast. Yeah. I don't even know how many people are going to make it to the end of this one.
Well, it's a good one. It's a good episode.
Well, if people come here to listen to Vampire Motorbike, there's nothing about Vampire
Look,
Motorbike.
Guys, it was not that interesting of a movie. Literally, the best part is the title. That's like it. It would probably be fun to watch with a group of people, but it's just not really all that interesting to talk about. All right, everyone, have a good new year. And remember, if you're gonna watch a movie, do it with the lights on.
What?
Oh, wait, no, I fucked it up. I fucked it up. Holy shit, I fucked it up.
Never thought you could fuck up it because you keep hating on everyone who fucks it up.
If you're gonna watch a movie, do it with the lights off.